In our Torah portion for this week, Parshat Vayeshev, we will read about how Joseph's jealous brother stripped him of his coat of many colors and threw him into a pit, a providential event that eventually led to the deliverance of the Jewish people by the hand of a disguised savior. Shavua Tov, Chavarim. This is John Parsons with Hebrew for Christians, and I want to wish you a good week in Yeshua, our Messiah. May you be filled with His Ruach, His Spirit, as you draw close to the Father, as you call upon the name of the Lord, as you walk with your eyes and heart open and receptive to the things of the Spirit of God. May you draw close this week. May this be a great week for you, and I pray that you will be blessed in all that you put your hand to do. May it always go well for you, friend, and may you be strong in the Lord, the power of His might. Now, as I mentioned at the beginning of this broadcast, our Torah portion for this week narrates how Joseph's brothers betrayed him and stripped him of his coat of many colors and threw him into a pit. And this was a providential event that eventually led to the deliverance of the Jewish people by the hand of a disguised savior, namely Joseph, who was concealed from his brother's eyes during a time of great tribulation. And we'll read more about this in subsequent Torah portions. And all this is prefiguring the advent of our Messiah, Yeshua, the first advent of which Yeshua, the suffering servant, the hidden one, the dreamer who was rejected by his brothers, sold for a few pieces of silver, and so on, who nonetheless was exalted as Israel's deliverer. And then secondly, as the actual national deliverer of the Jewish people during the great tribulation to come, this is known as Mashiach ben David in the tradition, where he will be Israel's rescuer from the oppression and the establisher of the kingdom of Zion. And then all the words of the prophets will be fulfilled as all Israel shall be saved, and the promises given to Israel regarding the kingdom will all be established. For more on this, see Hebrew for Christians, and in particular, look for articles on the philosophy of history for Israel or the eschatology of Israel. Now again, our Torah portion for this week is Parshat Vayeshev, and that means, and he settled, referring to Jacob settling in the land of Hebron. And you can read Parshat Vayeshev in your Bible by turning to Genesis chapter 37 and reading through chapter 40, verse 23. Last week's Torah reading, namely Parshat Vayishlach, recounted how Jacob had wrestled with a mysterious angel before returning to the Promised Land to be reconciled with his brother Esau. No longer named Yaakov, or heelholder, but Yisrael, one who prevails with God, a transformed Jacob finally returned to Hebron to see his father Isaac nearly 34 years after he had left home. However, on the way back home, his beloved wife Rachel died while giving birth to his 12th son, Benjamin. This week's Torah portion begins with Jacob living back in the land promised to Abraham and Isaac with his 12 sons, but the narrative quickly turns to Jacob's favorite son, Joseph, or Yosef, who was 17 years old at the time. Now, Jacob and Joseph undoubtedly shared a lot in common, and this surely caused Jacob to prefer his firstborn son of Rachel over his other sons. For instance, both men had infertile mothers who had difficulty in childbirth, both mothers bore two sons, and both were hated by their brothers. In addition, the Torah states that Jacob loved Joseph more than his other sons since he was the son of his old age and was the firstborn son of his beloved wife Rachel. Indeed, Jacob made him an ornamental tunic or a coat of many colors to somewhat ostentatiously display his special status in the family. As I've already mentioned, this special status derives from Jacob's love of Joseph as his firstborn of Rachel, but moreover because Joseph and his father shared some very intimate things in common. Remember, Rachel was Jacob's first choice as his bride, and he loved her his whole life with a very intense and special love. And Joseph was the firstborn son of Rachel, Rachel being barren for many years. And so when he was finally born, that was a very special thing for them both that they shared in. And then, of course, when Rachel died, both Jacob lost his beloved wife and Joseph lost his mom, and they shared that pain together. So for a variety of reasons, then, we can see why it was logical and natural for Jacob to have favored his son, Joseph. Now, as the favored son, Joseph's job was to oversee the activities of Jacob's concubine sons, namely Dan, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher, and to bring, quote, reports about their activities back to Jacob. However, this role as the overseer and favored son was just too much for the other brothers, and they soon became jealous of him and hated him. To make matters worse, Joseph related two dreams to his brothers that foretold that he was destined to rule over them, increasing their envy and hatred of him. The implication of his dreams was that one day his entire family would be subservient to him. Jacob himself rebuked Joseph for arousing his brother's hatred, but he inwardly took note and waited for the fulfillment of the dreams. Perhaps Jacob remembered his own childhood with his mother and her vision of him being the heir of the family, and he must have himself had certain dreams about that or visions about what that would be like to be the heir of the chosen family. The Torah narrative makes clear the enmity that Joseph's brothers felt toward Joseph and perhaps even to Jacob himself. One day, the brothers led their herds out to pasture land near Shechem, the place where Shimon and Levi, the two hot-headed sons of Leah, had earlier killed all the town's inhabitants on account of the violation of their sister Dinah. And Jacob was apparently still concerned about the reputation he had in the area, and so he sent Joseph to check up on their welfare. Joseph, however, learned that his brothers had left for Dothan and followed him there. Upon arriving in Dothan, the brothers saw Joseph from afar and immediately conspired to kill him. However, Reuben, the disgraced firstborn son, tried to circumvent their plan by suggesting that they merely throw him into a pit to shake him up a bit. Secretly, however, he was planning on coming back to rescue Joseph from the pit. When Joseph finally arrived, they stripped him of his ornamental tunic and, as Reuben suggested, threw him into a nearby pit. Then the Torah somewhat damningly adds that the brothers sat down to eat, ignoring the pleas and cries of their brother. Soon the brothers noticed some Midianites driving a caravan bearing spices to Egypt, and Judah suggested it would be better to sell Joseph as a slave to them, rather than let him die. The brothers agreed to this new plan and sold Joseph for 20 pieces of silver, and they watched as Joseph was bound and taken away to Egypt. Reuben, who apparently was away while all this was happening, returned to find Joseph gone, and he tore his clothes in horror and dismay. The brothers then staged Joseph's death by dipping his special tunic into a goat's blood and bringing it to their father, who mistakenly inferred that his son had been killed by a wild animal. Jacob then mourned for Joseph many days, and we can only really speculate what Jacob might have felt during this time. We know he grieved, but we're not sure whether he blamed himself for the death of Joseph or whether he was angry at Joseph's brothers, suspected foul play, or what the actual feelings were of the family members at this time. Of course, Jacob was laboring under an illusion that Joseph was indeed dead, and meanwhile, the Midianites had sold Joseph to an Egyptian officer of Pharaoh named Potiphar, a captain of Pharaoh's guard. Now, the narrative of Joseph is interrupted in the Torah to relate an incident in the life of Judah, who had separated from his brothers, married a Canaanite woman named Shua, and had three children, Onan, and Shelah. When his oldest son came of age, Judah married him to a Canaanite woman named Tamar. However, was wicked in the eyes of the Lord and died childless. Judah then promised her his second son, Onan. According to the custom of Levirate marriage, that is, the brother of a man who dies childless is obligated to give a child to his brother's widow to be raised in his brother's name with his brother's inheritance of land. Onan, however, sinned by, quote, spilling his seed in order to avoid the obligation, and the Lord slew him for this. At this point, Judah was reluctant to give up his third son to marry Tamar, but misleadingly told her he would do so as soon as Shelah came of age. After realizing that Judah was not going to fulfill his promise to give his son Shelah in marriage to her, Tamar disguised herself as a prostitute and seduced Judah himself. When Judah later heard that his daughter-in-law had become pregnant, he called for her to be burned at the stake, but when Tamar produced his pledge of payment to her for her, quote, services, he publicly confessed that he was the father. Tamar then gave birth to twin sons, Zerah and Peretz, the latter being a direct ancestor of King David, and through him, Yeshua the Messiah. Now just think about the implications of that, it should rock your world a little bit. According to the Malbim, the story of Judah represents the axiom that God creates the cure before the plague. Since the sale of Joseph led to the Egyptian exile of Israel, which is considered the paradigm of all exiles, It was necessary to plant the roots of ultimate redemption before the exile began. Thus, before the new Pharaoh was born who would enslave Israel, the seed of Messiah, Israel's Redeemer, was indeed planted. After this unseemly account of Judah and Tamar, the portion resumes the story of Joseph. Despite the injustice and treachery of his brothers, the Lord was, quote, with Joseph and blessed everything he did. In fact, soon he was promoted to be the head of Potiphar's entire household affairs. Torah describes Joseph as a handsome man, and soon Potiphar's wife began soliciting him to have an affair with her. However, Joseph steadfastly refused her repeated advances, but one day she threw herself upon him when no one was in the house. When Joseph tried to flee from her grasp, she caught him by the garment and pulled it off of him before he ran away. Humiliated and defeated, she then decided to slander Joseph and falsely accused him of attempted rape to her husband. When he heard, Potiphar was understandably outraged, although that might have been at his wife rather than Joseph, and perhaps to save face and for the sake of appearances, threw Joseph into the royal dungeon. However, God again showed Joseph favor while he was there, and immediately he gained the trust and admiration of his jailers, who appointed him to a position of authority in the prison administration. Perhaps Potiphar had his hand in that too. The portion ends with episodes in Joseph's life that eventually would bring him to the attention of Pharaoh himself. While in prison, Joseph met Pharaoh's wine steward and chief baker, both incarcerated for offending their master. According to Rashi, a fly was found in the goblet prepared by the butler, and a pebble was found in the baker's confection. Both men had disturbing dreams, which Joseph correctly interpreted. In 3 days, he told them, the wine steward would be released, but the baker would be hanged. Joseph then asked the wine steward to advocate for his release with the Pharaoh. Joseph's predictions were indeed fulfilled, but the wine steward promptly forgot all about Joseph. So that's just a brief overview of our Torah reading for this week, and I wish you all the best as you draw close to our Lord and Savior. I'm going to put some more audio up about various themes of this week's Torah reading, so please stay tuned for that. Please visit Hebrew for Christians during this time leading up to Hanukkah. There are articles about Hanukkah and the relationship between Hanukkah and our faith as believers in Messiah. And of course, there's many other articles concerning themes about this week's Torah reading, Parashat Vayeshev, that I encourage you to look at on the Hebrew for Christians website. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you his peace. May you draw close, may you draw near, may you take hold of who you are in the Messiah and be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Now to him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, our Moshiach, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen. Shavua tov, chavarim. Hey,